This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a new CDC report says there's too much salt and sugar in food for toddlers. Our guest says kids could be getting off on the wrong foot when it comes to nutrition.
First, it's a fairly cold day in Wisconsin, as these things go, and a lot of us are bundling up, staying inside, keeping warm. But some inventors and researchers say we may be trying too hard to keep warm.
In some cases, they're taking it to what sounds like extreme measures, wearing ice vests and plunging into cold tubs in the hopes of boosting metabolism and avoiding weight gain.
Our next guest checked out the world of shiver therapy to see what was scientifically sound and what remains on the fringe. Dr. James Hamlin is a senior editor and health columnist at The Atlantic. He also hosts a video series called If Our Bodies Could Talk. Dr. Hamlin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you start your piece talking about something that may seem a little crazy in Wisconsin today, where a lot of us woke up to sub-zero temperatures and ice vest. Can you describe that?
I can. The ice vest is a product that has been invented by a professor in California who is trying to harness the potential of the body to burn calories when it's exposed to cold, because not everyone lives in places where it gets cold, and you know, everyone experiences a summer where it's not always cold is not always easy to come by. And the idea is that your body has to maintain its temperature of 98.6 degrees. So when it's exposed to cold, it burns calories just to maintain that temperature. And that as an adjunct to good diet and exercise and everything else that you would normally do to be healthy, this might give some people an extra boost in calorie burning. That's the idea, at least.
Mm-hmm. And this, is there much science behind this idea that being more cold, whether it's with an ice vest or without, being more cold helps us metabolize better, I guess, lose weight?
Yes, there's science actually going back centuries on this. And it's an interesting story. The inventor of a popular trend a few years ago that was written about in Timothy Ferris's The 4-Hour Body, it was a trend of ice baths and exposure to extreme cold. And it sort of became popular around the work of a NASA materials scientist named Ray Cronus. And what he would do is go out in the middle of winter with no shirt on and take shiver walks. And he would take cool showers in the 60 to 70 degree range, which, you know, not freezing, but it would feel cooler than we're used to for showers. And it helped him lose weight, he claims. He did a TED talk about it. He was written up in this book. He had been watching Michael Phelps, who during his big Olympic run in 2008 told the news media that he was eating 12,000 calories a day. And Cronus was worked at NASA. He's a scientist. So he just said, that's not possible. No one could eat that many calories without losing weight, without gaining weight, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And so Cronus figured it out that it must be because Phelps was spending so much time in cold water that his body was actually burning calories just to keep itself warm, and that accounted for the extra difference that allowed him to eat so many calories.
Well, it seems like the swimming might have had something to do with it. He did a lot of that.
Absolutely. But, you know, running a marathon on average is going to burn only about a little more than 2,000 calories for someone. Exercise has a lot of health benefits, but straight-up calorie burning is not necessarily one of them. You have to work out a lot to burn calories. So to burn off 12,000 calories in a day, you would have to be swimming 24 hours straight. Even Michael Phelps couldn't do it.
Well, there's kind of an evolutionary argument. You point out that a lot of us, or the humans, evolved in often cold situations, and now we're fighting that. We're keeping ourselves at a pretty constant temperature.
That is where the work of these scientists has taken them now, to look at a bigger picture. You know, wearing an ice vest, sort of an interesting idea, not very practical, but that same principle can make you wonder, what is the fact that we are constantly exposed to warm environments year-round, artificially warm environments, in a way that 100 years ago we weren't? Has that had any effect on these skyrocketing rates of obesity and chronic disease that we have right now. I mean, that's a correlation. There are lots of correlations. There's a correlation with the rise of bottled water and Post-it notes and the rates of obesity. But this is one that when you pair it with some evolutionary science about the effects of mild stress on the body, when the body's under mild stress, cold being one of them, there is activation of some metabolic pathways that can be advantageous in burning fat. So it's very theoretical, but it kind of fits together in an interesting way.
Now, did you try one of these ice vests on?
Oh, I had to try it on, yes.
How long did you actually wear it?
I wore it until it was melted, which is the theory. It usually about an hour and a half until it is up to room temperature, your body has warmed it up.
Now, my guess would be that this would be horrible. Am I right?
It was not great. When you first put it on, it feels very cold. I am told that if you become a habitual user, you get used to it. And it wasn't, you know, if you've ever put an ice pack on your ankle or knee after an injury, you know the feeling. Mm-hmm. This is slightly better because you're still supposed to wear a shirt underneath it. So it's not ice directly on your skin. But the whole sensation of it being all over you is kind of probably similar to going outside in a t-shirt in the middle of winter. You want to get back in, but you get used to it and the ice starts melting, and then all you're left with is the questions from everyone who sees you about what you're wearing.
You said you can get habituated to it. Are there people who are doing, whether it's at the ice vest or other forms of, I think you call it shiver therapy, do people say, oh yeah, it's bad at first, but yeah, after a while it's not a big deal being super cold all the time?
It is. People say that they get used to it. You know, I guess as much as anyone gets used to being cold by the end of winter, whereas the first few cold days of winter might be less tolerable, they do say that they get used to it.
Hmm. So is there something to be done here for those of us who are never going to try an ice vest, never going to do that ice bath as a therapeutic technique? Could it make a difference? Just, I guess, thermostat down a little more, not so many blankets, smaller steps?
Well, here's the way I think about it. You're not hurting anything by trying that. Actually, saving a little bit of energy by turning your thermostat down a little bit, not feeling like you need to bundle yourself up in multiple layers just because you look at the cover of the J. Crew catalog and it's got someone in a flannel and a cardigan and a scarf, just because it is winter outside. But for a lot of us who don't work outdoors and kind of go out to our car, drive to work, spend our whole day in a climate-controlled environment, and then drive back to a climate-controlled house, our day-to-day is not that much different between summer and winter, at least during a work day. So do you really need the space heater under your desk? Do you really need to be layering your clothes? It's kind of a cultural and psychological thing. And once you get used to being a little bit cooler, you realize that you're saving some energy, you're potentially returning your body to this exposure of some mild cold that for hundreds and hundreds of years the human body was used to experiencing, that can't hurt.
Has this led to a lifestyle change for you, whether it's, you know, wearing one less layer or going all the way to regular ice vest use?
It has made me conscious of not layering so much and thinking, I might be going out to dinner on a winter night, but I'm just going to be going out to a cab and then into a restaurant and then, you know, going from place to place that are heated. Do I really need to bring a coat? Probably not. So I think about it in that way. I would not wear an ice vest or go to any lengths to go out of my way for this or really put myself in any degree of discomfort because the science is so preliminary and theoretical. But thinking about it has made me realize that I might be going overboard on trying to keep myself warm all winter.
So when my kids refuse to wear a scarf or hang around in shorts all inside all through the winter, maybe not such a big deal.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Excellent. Well, that's good to know. Dr. Hamlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That was Dr. James Hamlin, editor and health columnist at The Atlantic.